Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I want to read verses 8 through 10, but focus especially on verse number 10, where the Bible says he looked for a city. Let me begin reading at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a city. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we bow today to give you praise and to thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the service that we've already enjoyed. Our hearts have been blessed and we're grateful. Thank you for the faithful ministry of the Andrews down through the years in the ministry of music, the blessing that they've been to so many, many people across the land. Now, Father, I would pray that you will help us as we stand here today and bring a message. We know that we're preaching from a place where no man stands alone. So I just pray that you would bless us. Thank you for all that that we've already experienced. And now speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm looking for a city. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a city. You know, homecoming is a very special time to reflect on the history of a church. It's a great day to honor homes, to honor families, and the membership of our church. It's a day to remember those that have gone before and to look at the birth and the development of our church. The homecoming meal itself foreshadows the great homecoming day, when the table will be spread and the Master will one day spread that table and God's people will sit down in His presence. Homecoming day is a special day, reminding us of a more special day, the homecoming of all homecomings. We're told that Abraham looked for a city. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. The Old Testament saints, as we know, were characterized by two things. They were characterized by a tent. They were characterized by an altar. The tent reflected their attitude towards this life. And the altar reflected their attitude towards the life to come. God's people are pilgrims. The houses that we now occupy will one day be occupied by others. The path that we tread will one day be trodden by others. The fields that we cultivate will one day be cultivated by others. Someone said this, though. They said the most important thing is not what we live in, but what we look for. And that's certainly true. The old gospel song says, looking for a city where we'll never die, where the sainted millions never say goodbye, where we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. You know, the Bible says that Abraham was looking for a city. Every one of God's people are looking for a city. I know one thing, I'm getting kind of tired and weary of this world here. The older I get, the more homesick I get for home. By now I've lived long enough to have many precious friends depart this earth, and I certainly miss them. A church homecoming is not just about the past. Thank God it's about the future. It's not just looking back, but it's looking forward. Homecoming is not just about land and buildings, which deteriorate in time, but it's about people being saved and blessed, and we'll see again. Homecoming would be intolerable if it was only about memory. The wonderful thing is that we haven't seen the last of these precious departed saints. You see, we're looking for a city. I'm looking for a city that's of a better sort. When I say a better sort, I would put it like this. I'm looking for a city that has God's presence. A city of perfect health. And a city of no sickness. That's the kind of city I'm looking for. The Bible tells us, the words of the prophet said, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity." The city that I'm looking for is of a better sort. This city will have no hospitals. There's one profession that this city will not have room for. And I'm talking about there'll be no needs of doctors and nurses in that city. We won't have to worry about Blue Cross, Blue Shield. We're not even going to have to worry about Obamacare, are we? Thank God I'm looking for a city of a different sort. Not only am I looking for a city of a better sort, but I'm looking for a city of a better security. Hebrews writer said, We have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. In heaven, a better and an enduring substance. Isn't it thrilling to know that heaven is an enduring substance? You see, as we pass through this life, we're leaving behind it all. But thank God in heaven, we will tread streets of gold in a place that will never be tarnished with time and elements of decay. The welfare system of that city is not government funded. The welfare system in that city will be grace funded. I read about a tree of life bearing 12 manner of fruits that yield every month. I think of the blessed security of that city. I think of the blessed security of no threat of war. I read in the Bible, so do you, of that glorious time coming upon this earth during the millennial reign of Christ. Swords will be beaten in plowshares. Men will study war no more. Imagine a time upon this earth when the economy of the land does not need a military budget. Try to imagine that. No young people will be going off to war. No flag-draped caskets will be arriving at Dover Air Force Base. Thank God for that type of a city. I think of the security of living in a place where there'll be no foreclosures on homes. No one will confiscate property because there'll be no debt. I'm looking for a city that is as permanent as its founder. A city whose builder and maker is God. A city that is earthquake proof because its foundation is sure. You know, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And it's made possible because of a prepared provision. Jesus is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I love the book of Genesis. I love Genesis chapter 22. I love to read the great question that one day Isaac asked as he looked up at his father. Abraham had the knife drawn. Abraham was going to slay his son. And I love that question that Isaac asked. He looked up, he said, "Father," he said, "where's the lamb?" But thank God the glorious answer that Abraham gave was, "God will provide himself a lamb." Oh, I can say to you this morning that lamb was provided. I can say that lamb was prophesied. I can say that lamb was presented. I can say that lamb was crucified. I can say that lamb arose. I can say that lamb ascended. And thank God that lamb is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Where is the lamb? That prepared city is made possible to a prepared people, made possible because of a prepared sacrifice that took place in the mind of God before the foundation of this earth. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain in the mind of God. The provision of the Lamb of God at Calvary is the price tag for the salvation of a sinner. And when the sinner claims by faith this precious Lamb of God as Savior, they are given eternal life and heaven is secure. The security of that city is based upon the Lamb's sacrifice, because the Bible says by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering. That has to be one of the most precious, one of the most powerful verses found in all the Word of God. One offering. One offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Thank God He'll never have to come back. The cross will never have to be duplicated. Jesus took care of the sin debt. And heaven is a reality to God's people because it's secured by the blood of the Lamb. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a city of a better sort. I'm looking for a city of a better security. I'm looking for a city of a better sight. Why do I say that? Well, because of this. I'm talking about the third heaven. I'm not talking about the atmosphere. I'm not talking about the stellar system. I'm talking about the third heaven. I'm talking about the place where God dwells. I'm talking about the presence of Christ. The third heaven, that city that I'm looking for, is a city that'll have no fog, it'll have no smog, it'll have no pollution. This city will not be threatened by floodwaters, such as Columbia, South Carolina, is currently threatened. The city that I am thinking about, that I'm looking for, is a city that will be inhabited by many of my acquaintances. I read an article of an unknown author put this together. The city that I'm looking for is a city that is inhabited by many of my precious acquaintances that have gone on already before me. An unknown writer said this: when I was a boy, I thought of heaven as a great shining city with vast walls and domes and spires, and with nobody in it except white angels who were strangers to me. By and by, my little brother died, and I thought of a great city with walls and domes and spires and a flock of cold unknown angels and one little fellow that I was acquainted with. He was the only one that I knew in that country. Then another brother died. There were two that I knew. Then my acquaintances began to die and the number continually grew. But it was not until I had sent one of my little children back to God that I began to think I had a little interest there myself. A second, a third, a fourth went. And by the time I had so many acquaintances in heaven that I did not see any more walls and domes and spires, I began to think of the residents of that celestial city. And now so many of my acquaintances have gone there that it sometimes seems to me that I know more in heaven than I do on earth. And oh, how true that is. I tell you, when it comes to God's grace, yes, God's grace saves. Yes, God's grace keeps. Yes, God's grace sustains. But I see this so many times, and now I'm beginning to experience a little bit of it myself. The older we get, we've walked with God, we've served the Lord, we've followed precious caskets to the graveyards, and it hurts us every time. But God somehow assures us and lets us know this is not the end. We're going to see them again. And oh, thank God, I'm glad to say that church homecoming is not just about the past, but thank God it's about the future. It's not just about the memory, but it's about what we can expect. The sight of that city involves a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. for you. It's a place that we could say is populated. It's a place that's perpetual. It's a place that's perfect. It's a place of dazzling beauty. A little girl one day and her dad were walking outside in a starlit night. And a little girl looked up towards a starlit sky, and her statement to her dad was this: "If this, the wrong side of heaven, is so beautiful, what will the right side be?" What will the right side be? It's a better sight because heaven is where our Savior is. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. There's a story of a dying man who asked his Christian doctor if the doctor could tell him something about the place that he would soon go. As the doctor fumbled for a reply, all of a sudden his reply came because there's something scratching on the door. And the doctor looked at the patient and said, "Do you hear that?" The patient said, "Yes, indeed I do." He said, "It's my dog." He said, "I left my dog downstairs, but he's grown impatient and he's come up and he hears my voice. And here's what said it. He has no notion of what's inside the door, but he knows that I'm here." And that's the same of all of us here this morning. You know, when you stop and think about it, people say, "Where is heaven? What's heaven like? What can we expect?" To be quite honest with you, how can we even know apart from what we read in scriptures? But I'll tell you what, I've come to the place in my life that I'll be satisfied if I just find Jesus there. That's okay with me. That's okay. Theologians sometimes squabble about whether it's going to be just a mansion or a palace or just a room or all of that. I'm going to tell you something this morning. The thrill of heaven is not our abiding place. The thrill of heaven is seeing Him who saved us by His grace. The thrill of heaven is seeing the one that went to the cross and paid our sin debt in full. The thrill of heaven will be seeing the one who has wiped the tears from our eyes on many occasions and been there by our side and given solace to our aching hearts. The one that's so good, like the Sister Penny sang about. That's going to be the thrill of heaven. Thank God we're going to see our loved ones there. But I'll tell you, seeing Jesus there is going to make it worth it all, isn't it? I've now lived long enough to see many of my family and friends leave. And so many of you. There are some people that I miss so bad my heart aches when I think of them. I travel down the road and I pass places that remind me of departed family and friends. I come to church here and I look at pews which were pews chosen by departed church members. I think of my father and mother-in-law who sit over here. I remember where they sit. They always took turns, it seems, supporting myself and my brother-in-law who pastors another independent Baptist church. And a lot of times we have our homecomings on the same day, which is true even today at Loud Memorial Baptist. But I could always count on my mother and father-in-law. They would be here at this church one year, the Sunday when the homecoming, they'd always support, you know, the other pastor when he had his homecoming service. I used to think, though, that they were here just to hear us preach until I found out they really were traveling along just to see their daughters. Found that out. I stand here this morning and I look over this congregation and I look at church pews where I remember precious saints used to sit. Over here, Ward Larimore, Brother Cordell over here, Johnny Rumsey right here, Dan Knuckles back here, Claude Westmoreland back here, Clyde Westmoreland.